Hey, we're in Simen Reish Samach Gimel. We finished Sif Aleph. We're in the middle of the Piskei Tshuvas dealing with candle lighting on Erev Shabbos. So the Mishnah, the Piskei Tshuvas is going on the part of the Ramah that says that, that people have two candles minimum, and they have the kavana of Shomor and Zohar. And the Ramah says you can add candles, as long as you don't have less. Says the Piskei Tshuva, and since we find that there are those who are concerned not to add on something and still keep the Kavana, therefore it's proper that the custom should be that two candles out of the group that you have. Okay, you want to have more than two, that's fine. But they should be totally discernible from the others with different types of lamps, different in a way they should, so you can see, oh, these are two. You know, for example, or let's say they're bigger or different type of menorah. So let's say you start off two nice, beautiful silver candlesticks. And then some people have the custom to add one for every kid they have or whatever. So you have smaller candlesticks, but there should be two that are really sticking out there. You can say, okay, I see those two. That's for Shomer and Zohar. And the others, because I want to have more. That would be the proper thing to do. Now, how many candles one should have, that depends on the different traditions and customs that exist. The Mishnah Berurah brings down from the Magen Avraham that some have the custom of seven, and others have the custom of 10. That was the Mishnah Berurah. But there's other customs and traditions regarding this amount, and it's all incorporated in the mitzvah, and it's a, and it gives Hashem a lot of pleasure with whatever configuration it has. As the Gemara in Shabbos says, people should be accustomed to having many candles, and great people can come out of these candles. But that's all if the husband agrees. In other words, if the wife's spending a fortune of money on it, remember in those days, candles were expensive. Nowadays, we don't have to worry about that. But it shouldn't create disharmony in the home over finances over that. The widespread minhag of the Jewish people is to start with two or whatever you're starting with, but to add one for every child in the family. Okay, even though there's no mentioning in the Chazal and the Rishonim and the Shulchan Aruch or any of the commentaries, still in all, there are there is evidence for that. For example, when a woman, generally speaking, gave birth to a child, not nowadays where they throw her to the hospital 2 hours later, but quite often she was not up to lighting candles that Shabbos. And therefore you'd add a candle after that week, even as, you know, like we said, similarly, if a woman doesn't light candles one Shabbos, she has to light an extra one, even though here it was beyond her control. But still, the fact she didn't light, so now we add one. And even though the husband lit in the house, like it's not like nobody lit, the husband lit, but whatever. That's one reason. Another reason is we find by Hanukkah, according to one opinion of the Mahadran, remember the Hanukkah, the main mitzvah is one candle every night. The Mahadran is you light one candle for every family member every night. That's the Mahadran. So therefore you find by Hanukkah the idea to have one candle for every person in the house. So the same thing over here. Okay, and even after the kids get married, leave the house, you still wouldn't reduce the candle on Shabbos. Okay, that's a reason for that custom. Look at this. There's another minhag in many families that as soon as their child gets married, they add another one for the in-law. She told that to my wife. we just added for every kid 11, so now we'd have to have 17. Okay, interesting. He does. Where is that custom?
Your grandchildren, probably, he's going to say.
We'll see in a minute. Let's see.
You need a new menorah.
Also interesting, the gematria of Nair. Nair is 300. No, come on.
250.
Yeah, 250. Two candles is 500. So if you have 500, well, we know that a man has 248 body parts. A woman has 252, which is four extra ones. That's what it says here, and that adds up to 500. So the two candles. Okay. All right. Once a woman has a custom to light a certain amount of candles, for whatever the custom and whatever the reason is, she may not diminish from that amount. Even if, God forbid, let's say she added for children, and chas v'shalom, a child dies, you don't do it. Or let's say she widows, she wouldn't reduce it for a missing family member, or she got divorced, she still has to at least do those two, or whatever number she was. Even if she remarries, she has to have the amount of candles she has. And if she has a good reason to reduce the candles, you should make a hatoras nedorim in front of three people if you want to change that. Now, on the other hand, if a woman is a guest outside of her house, the custom is not to be particular about the amount of candles she lights, and two would be enough. And even if her husband is at home, he lights there the candles. He does not have. He only has to light two as well. Even though at home they were lighting seven, and let's say she was out of town as a guest, she's going to light two. But the husband should still light. He only lights two. He doesn't have to light the same amount the wife lit, unless the wife is home and he's lighting for the wife. Then I guess you keep the same number. But if a woman made up in her mind that she'll always light seven or nine or whatever, even when she's out of the house, she should. And if she wants to stop, she have to make hataras nedarim as well. Okay, then there are moments the woman forgets, she has to light an extra one. And that for every time she forgets, she'd have to add another one as a fine. Okay. Also, besides the fine, there's an idea of kapara for stumbling and not fulfilling a minug. It's like not fulfilling a neder because you do it so often. However, if there were circumstances beyond her control, she doesn't have to add, as the Mishnah Berurah writes. And let's say she lit candles and the candles went out right away because it was a poor quality of oil or whatever, or a wind that's not usual, and she didn't realize it, that's considered an accident. Also, nowadays, that we have electricity, so there's no worry about people stumbling and falling and things like that. Still, we find the person if she forgot or was lazy and didn't light the candles. Let's see, was any footnote on that? What's going on over here? 34. All right. Also, the commentaries on the Shulchan Aruch do not go into detail regarding this halach of forgetting. Okay. And the rabbis bring many shilas in this. Sometimes it's not clear. The fact that it didn't light, was it because of laziness or she forgot? Or because maybe it was an accident. Sometimes it's not a simple call. Okay? So whenever there are shilas of this situation, we can always go lenient, as the Ber Halacha says. For example, let's say she lit a certain amount of candles usually, and whatever reason she lit less. We're lenient, and we won't fine her. And he writes, because this is all a minig. You have to remember, it's a minig. I guess when you're adding on beyond the two, and therefore let's not make things harder on them. And also there's another issue, it's when you're in doubt, or let's say there's a extra difficulty, if let's say it'd be a financial hardship to add a candle for the rest of her life. But anyway, still in all, the proper thing is to make a tikkun in a kapara with things that aren't hard, at least add a little oil or something like that, or should supply for a poor family oil, or have other mitzvah candles in the shul or other things like that, or holy places, or at least the Shabbos afterwards do it. But that's in the case where it's, you know, it's shilas over here.
Right.
He doesn't bring any of them. Let's see if he brings on the bottom. Okay, here it is. Here's one. Let's say Friday afternoon, she wants to take a little nap. She finished getting ready for Shabbos. She heard us talk about that the person should take a little nap before Shabbos, but to wake up before Shabbos. And she fully intended to wake up. Let's say, for example, she set the alarm clock. So she was very responsible. And the power went out or something like that, right? So, you know, then the question is, it could be lazy, could be accidents, not sure. So in a doubtful situation, we're always lenient. I know I've asked other Rabbanim, you know, this does happen when you have 3-day yontifs. So a regular Friday lady knows you got to light candles before Shabbos, but on yontif, you don't have to light before yontif.
Right.
You can light from a pre-existing candle.
All night.
So let's say, especially it's you had a Shabbos and then the next day is yontif or something like that. So the woman's like off the regular routine. So there have been rabbis who said he could be lenient and not punish her for that, because she's not of the routine. It's not like a regular Friday. Regular Fridays are clockwork. So what do you mean you forgot? Right? But how often is there a Friday night, then a Saturday night, then a Sunday? How often? Once every 4 years? Or even on a regular yontif, maybe the first night of yontif, but the second night of yontif, you for sure have to light later. And they're busy with a lot of things. You know, it's not like, and you know you have time to light. So there's room to be lenient, because it's a minhag, and you know, and women get stressed out in preparing and this and that. It's a lot of stress having the food ready for your husband, you know, when you're starting to prepare after, you know, 50 minutes after sunset, and there's a lot of guests and this and that, and you know you have till later to light, and you just never got around to lighting it. So there are those who have been lenient in that area.
Do you light the same on yontif then as Shabbos?
Yeah. Yeah.
Same number.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. All right. And there are opinions, even though the Shulchan Aruch didn't bring that, if a regular case she forgets, you don't have to always light an extra candle the rest of your life, but like you can just add a little quantity to the oil, or add a certain near mitzvah in another place, even if it's not for Shabbos. So you've got, you know, not everybody is so straightforward, just punish her, make her light an extra candle. So because of that, if there's a reason to throw in a lenient factor, you know, let's say she wasn't sick, but she wasn't feeling that well. She was battling a cold. And you know, sometimes when you're congested and you're feeling off, you know, plain and simple. Or maybe she's dealing. Many women nowadays deal with mild forms of mental illness, stress. They're on medications, you know, and whatever. She didn't have her medication. know, she's stressed, you know. So we have to find rooms to be lenient. That's all we're saying. It's not just what you forgot. The rest of your life you have to light extra. Because you got to really realize it is an embarrassing thing for a woman, you know. You know, let's say you're in a religious environment. So the typical custom is you light two and every kid you add one. So I remember I was in a house once. I was a guest. And there was someone else who was a guest. So the guest asked the host, he says, how can you invite, you light six candles because you only have three kids? So the wife sheepishly answered, well, I forgot once to light. So that's pretty embarrassing. So you can imagine, and women are very sensitive. You can imagine the first week she's going to have to add one. She's going to say, what's going to happen? I have guests. They're going to ask me about this. Okay, so the truth is that's a heck of a penalty to have. So that's why women usually don't forget.
You shouldn't ask.
You know? But even if no one was asking, it's embarrassing. That's part of the penalty.
Yeah.
That's part of the penalty. So, okay. So, yeah, the person shouldn't have asked, for sure not. But, so therefore, you know, there's reason to be lenient because, you know, so if she really was, but still, if it's clear what was her fault, total negligence, okay, unfortunately, we'll have to penalize her. But if there's a reason to be lenient, you know, let's say a woman wasn't religious and she's just starting to light. And then she forgot. I don't know if it would be a wise thing to say, oh, you forgot, we're going to penalize you. You know, I don't know if that's going to be a smart idea. Okay?
Because
she's not, first of all, because she probably didn't see it in her house. You got to remember, the Shulchan is talking about a woman who was a little girl. Every Friday night, she saw her mother light candles. So her whole youth, she knew you light candles. She would watch her mother light candles. Right, and then when she was married, she probably very excitedly wanted to light candles. So it's something that was part of their upbringing. Okay, so then why did you forget this week? It's not like the girl, we just start her out of the blue. So, okay, so, you know, for 20 years, whatever, 18 years, you saw your mom lighting you light, so why did you forget? But a secular woman who for her whole life didn't light, now she's abolished tshuva. Well, you know, she's not used to it. Plain and simple. So, you know, I've never been asked the question, but if I knew that scenario, a woman, let's say she's just from for a year and she forgot and she's like, you know, you don't want to penalize people in a situation where it's still very sensitive, then it'd be a smarter thing to not penalize and say, well, we won't penalize you this time, but dear, don't forget again. Something like that. And then you see what happens if she forgets again. But, you know, it would not be a good idea to penalize that. So I'm just saying it's not...
individualized.
It would be a good thing to... If there's a reason to be lenient, there'd be a reason to be lenient. Especially, let's say a woman had a lot of guests. Let me give you another example. Let's say a lady, you know, she's marrying off her first kid. And it's the Shabbos Sheva Brachos. And there's, you know, 17 guests from out of town, and she's worrying about hosting this one and finding... It's Leibedik, Erev Shabbos, you know. And then the Sheva Brachos was in somebody else's house. Whatever. You know, you can give a number. It's like not a normal situation. So you're going to say the woman was lazy? So that's those borderline. What do you mean, lazy or it was an accident? Well, she wasn't lazy, and I wouldn't exactly call it an accident. Somewhere in between. You know, so that will be a room to be lenient. So therefore, you got to ask. But if it's just a regular Friday and everything's been normal, she's been lighting for the last 25 years, and then she just totally forgets, then it'll be very difficult to be lenient. That's all I'm saying. Well, let's continue. There's lots of Piskei Tshuva still. Then they bring some Mishabur that you, the merit of lighting candles is that you have children who are sons who are Talmidei Chachamim. Every woman should daven after she lights, that Hashem should give her children that are Talmidei Chachamim. And let's say a woman who's having difficulty raising her kids, or she has no children, Lo'aleinu, it's a big skula, after she lights candles, she should say the Haftorah, of the first day of Rosh Hashanah until of Chana until the words Vayoran Karen Mishicho. Okay, wow, that's an interesting thing. And she should understand what she says when she reads it, to say with Kavana. Also, the another skula that comes out of lighting candles, it gives you a long life and brings peace and happiness and tranquility. Also has a skula to bring good parnasa and to burn away and to distance the Yetzer Hara from anger and machlokes and falling into the other side. And it will help bring Mashiach. So it brings all good things come from lighting candles. And it brings down when the candles are lit, the Satan isn't around and there's no damage. Whoa, that must be Kabbalism. Well, no, it's the Balatura. And therefore, the time that's most auspicious for our prayers to be accepted. It's a very auspicious time for our prayers to be answered, an auspicious time for the learning of Torah itself. And he says, there's wondrous things are brought in the Sefer Kav HaYosher, and he writes, quote, in many places we found that it was precious before Hashem, these mitzvah candles, as it says in Yeshaya, with lights you will honor Hashem. And any light that is lit for the sake of a mitzvah has a tremendous kedusha beyond measure. If we would merit to know it, with Ruach HaKodesh, we'd understand through the mitzvah of lighting candles a lot of other things. Hayinu mevinu masigin al yidei mitzvahs adlokas neshal mitzvahs asidus. That the mitzvah, it's like the nair of a mitzvah is like it prophesizes, like a navi. Wow. In other words, anyway, you'd be able to have insight into the future through lighting it. It's also good minig that a woman, before she lights candles, should give a coin for tzedakah. And that's a custom spreading around all the Jewish people. To give tzedakah, especially to, I guess in those days, to strengthen the yishuv in Eretz Yisrael. And okay, and just like you find in the Lecha Dodi, there's an inyan of, we talk about the rebuilding of the Beis Hamikdash, so it's also an important thing to remember Yerushalayim before Kabbalah Shabbos. Okay, we're still not done. It's a long way through these Pesukei Teshuvos. Okay, he's going on the next part. You should light in every room in the house, even if you're not eating there, so you don't stumble and hurt yourself. That was in those days where all they had was candles as a source of illumination. So you don't have to light candles now in every other room, but you have to make sure the lights are on where you need it. So, and including this is also in the city streets, or places that people will be walking at night, outside, courtyards, in front of the house. So the night lights that are in front of your front door, if you're going to be, you know, going in and out of the house at night, they should be on. Okay. And the Beis HaKnesses, the Beis HaMedrash, and all places where people are found, you have to make sure it's well lit up on Shabbos. Nowadays, obviously, we fulfill this with electric lights. Even if, let's say, lights come in from the street into the house, still and all, one second, that's okay. Let's say you're right next to a street lamp, so you don't necessarily need to have lights in every room. Because if you've got windows, the lights will get in through the street lamps. And you need light to be on as long as people are anticipated to be awake. Okay. And in a place where there people are up all night, then you should have lights on all night. So all what the rabbi said, you should have. So okay, thank God we have street lights now, but not in rich neighborhoods. Rich neighborhoods have no street lights. At least in the States, I remember. Beechwood was a very wealthy neighborhood. No lights in Beechwood. No street lights. That showed you had a rich neighborhood. Anyway, but you'd have to make sure there's, to some extent, there's some lights. But nowadays, the actual lighting of candles, even with electricity, the main place is where we eat the Suda Shabbos. And it's preferable that the lights, the candles should be long enough that they light through the entire meal. That's lechatchila. Even if you have electric lights, but b'shas hadchak, if it's just enough that it's they're lit for Kiddush. So therefore, the best things you should get, aside from those regular white candles, they go about 3-4 hours. But you got to think, if the woman's lighting 18 minutes before Shkia, so, and the husband's in shul, husband probably comes home, let's say, about an hour after she lit candles. So if it's a very long Shabbos, well, you'd have to have longer ones, but, so you should, it should, even if it's, there's electricity and all this stuff, that doesn't always work to do it on the table, because remember, if you put them on the table, you're not going to be able to move the tablecloth. Let's say you put a plastic on your tablecloth that you want to pull off and throw away all the garbage. You really can't do that if you're putting candles on the table, because they become a buses to that. So, okay, maybe you just put it in a serving cart or something.
Yeah.
Whatever. I mean, some people I've seen, what they do is, you know, people have these little shelves in the wall. So you can put all, people put little nice artifacts on those things. But some people have it just that that's where we put the Shabbos candles. So let's say in the dining room, a nice little decorative shelf, and that's where the woman lights the candles. So that's another way to get out of that issue. Okay, however, when you're going to make a bracha, even if you have a number of candles through the house, but the bracha will be made on the candles that are lit in the room that you're eating, because the primary mitzvah of lighting the candle is to light it where you're eating there. Because a meal is not considered significant except where there's lots of light. Even though we have electricity, again, the main lighting of the candles is the place where we eat. And you should be even more careful now than in their days. Because in their days, it's just to give us light. But now you want to show it's for the mitzvah. So you should be careful. Let's say you have meals where men and women are sitting in many rooms, or there's banquet halls, whatever. So let's say, in other words, let's say the men, Hasidic place, the men are eating in one room, the women in another room. So where do you light the candles? Where you eat. But the men are eating in one room, the women in another room. Which room should the woman light the candles? So what do you think he says? Light it where the men are eating, because that's the main meal. That's real Hasidic stuff. Don't tell this over to your wives. But if you want, you could light it in the room where the women are eating. And right away, to light a little bit more, a couple more, by the husband's one. In other words, she'll have candles in both rooms. So she can light there right away without skipping a beat. Go to the men's place and light there and make a bracha in the men's part. So you really did both of them. Okay, we still have Piskei Tshuvas that we'll have to pick up on Monday. So there's a lot of stuff to talk about on this area.